be on the air.
KAKU 88.5 FM.
Okay, here we go.
Kahului, Maui.
Quiet, please.
The voice of Maui.
Stay tuned for Gutsy Women Radio with me, Amora St. John, talking story with the gutsy women of Maui, here on KAKU 88.5 FM, the voice of Maui. Listen in. Aloha, everyone. It's Amora St. John, and I'm back today on my favorite Friday to be with the most wonderful women that I know on the planet. One of them is sitting across from me right now, Jerry Grace Lyons. And before we begin with our conversation, which I'm so looking forward to, Jerry Grace, is I have a couple of announcements. The first is, for those of you who are watching on television, this is our new Light Warrior shirt, which, and now I'm going to turn around, is the support for Maui Strong. And it's a way to raise money for the fire survivors. So these shirts, they're really fun, different colors, are available at the Wailea Healing Center right here on Maui, where Rebecca Wilson and David run a beautiful community service where we do yoga and we have performances and we have acupuncture. And we want to keep them alive and well. So this is a fundraiser. So it's Light Warriors, which I think totally fits all of us here on Maui right now. So that's my first announcement, is to be sure to check these shirts out at the Wailea Healing Center. It's a fundraiser for Maui Strong and for the Wailea Healing Center. And secondly, I want to support my friend Chi, formerly David Brady, who is doing something really special tomorrow Saturday. The 29th, I believe it is. Or is today the 29th, Jerry Grace? I can't remember.
I think today is the 28th.
Okay, so it's the 29th, and this is called Paddle for Lahaina. 9 outrigger canoe, 6-seaters will paddle tomorrow morning from the Kihei Canoe Club to Maluaka Beach and return on Sunday. And it's a fundraiser for the people of Lahaina that have lost everything. Every penny goes directly to the families involved, and there's no fees or costs, 100% to the people. And donations can be made to Paddle for Lahaina GoFundMe page. So you really just need to go to GoFundMe and search for Paddle for Lahaina number 4. And they've raised $24,500 so far. I mean, it's extraordinary, the money that is coming in for this cause, this mighty, mighty cause. And so congratulations, Chief, for doing this. And I'm hoping that Kaku, our media center here, our community television station, will come out and cover it to see them paddling off and then coming back in again. So, it's, you know, they raised, the first 2 weeks after the fire, $30 million came in on GoFundMe, just for different families. Just extraordinary. So my third announcement is... Pro Arts Theater over in Kihei is doing some wonderful work these days, and they're giving a portion of their proceeds to, again, to Maui Strong and to the people who are surviving the fires. And they have a new production starting, actually, tonight. It's called Kimberly Kimberly Akimbo. And it's a Tony Award-winning Broadway play. It opens Friday night and goes through October 16th. And it stars Ali Shore, who's one of my favorite actresses here on Maui, just extraordinary actress. And it's a story of a woman who is actually a girl, who she's 16 years old, but her body is aging. She's like in a 50 or 60-year-old body. And it is an extraordinary look at the human condition. And it's heartwarming and brilliant. It's a brilliant play. On Broadway, it was a musical, and here at the Pro Arts, it's going to be basically a play. And so I'm really excited to see it next week. And anybody out there who loves Pro Arts, wants to support wonderful Lynn McEwen and her good work, and to see some wonderful entertainment, do get your tickets for Kimberly Akimbo. Okay, I think I've covered my bases. Welcome, Jerry Grace.
Oh, thank you, Amora. So delighted and joyful to be here.
No, you're looking very beautiful. I don't think you've aged. I saw you like 4 years ago when you were here. And let's just start with that. You were here to help our wonderful friend Deanna leave her body.
Absolutely, I was.
Yeah.
She's somebody I met like 40 years ago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Back in where I live on the mainland, she was living in our little town of Sebastopol.
Oh, right.
But I actually had run into her a number of times at different gatherings. We just kept gravitating toward each other.
Yeah.
Until I realized I had her in my address book like three places. I just finally called and said, we really need to get to know each other.
That's so beautiful. And let's just say to our listeners and our viewers that Jerry Grace is one of the early death doula trainers who has taken on a ministry, basically. It's so beautiful. It's called Final Passages. It began in 1995 as a nonprofit, and you're still going strong. I mean, you have the most extraordinary job description, I think, on the planet. Because not everybody wants to sit with the dying, but you do. And you do their home funerals, and you help them pass over.
Yeah, that's been my main focus, is guiding the families through a family-directed home funeral or family-led home funeral. I came in through the back door, so to speak. I wasn't really involved in dying, death, or grief work at all.
Oh, really?
I was at a kind of a health clinic. Doing a different kind of body work. I was doing something called Traeger and some Reiki, and using some healing products called Tachyon. And I just created my own type of healing work called Touch of Radiance. And then I met through that clinic, kind of, I met a woman named Carolyn Whiting, who was an MD. I'm not an MD. She was an RN. Sorry. She was a nurse. And she had a Reiki support group at her home. And several people told me about her. And I found out she wasn't living that far from me. And I called her. And she was warm on the phone, so hospitable. Yes, please come to our drop-in Reiki support group. And I knew her I went every week for almost a year.
Uh-huh. So you're a Reiki practitioner.
I am.
So I imagine that's one of the tools in your toolbox when you're sitting with the dying.
Yes, being a Reiki master, yes. And so I wasn't a Reiki master then. I had just taken some classes and gone through the first and second degree. And so I was practicing, which I hadn't had a chance to practice with a group of people. We worked on each other on the table, and I learned a lot more from Carolyn about that. And then one day she went to work caring for an older woman in her home as a nurse that she was. And the older woman was in her 80s, but they had breakfast together, and Carolyn said, after breakfast, she wasn't feeling well.
Uh-huh.
And they called 911. They came quickly. They worked on her, and they weren't able to keep her alive. She was only 56 years old, but she did have a history of asthma.
Uh-huh.
So that was a very sudden, shocking kind of news to get in our community. A phone tree went out. But she had a card in her wallet that said, in the event of her death, to call her friend Norma in San Francisco to alert her, tell her, because she was her executor of her will and also her durable power of attorney for health care. And that was one of the first pieces of information that we got of how important it is to carry something in your wallet.
In your wallet.
That says who to call in case of sudden death.
I don't do that.
Right.
I have something on my refrigerator called Pulse, P-O-L-S-T.
Right.
Which stands for
Physician's Order. For physician. Yeah, I'll get it in a minute.
Forget what it's
I know what it is. For life-sustaining treatment.
Yes.
Physician's order for life-sustaining treatment.
That's, or deciding not to have life-sustaining treatment, which is basically what we have.
It gives
do not resuscitate.
Right.
Yeah.
And it does give other choices, whether you want to be intubated or whether you want to be, you know, have a feeding tube and different things like
that. Exactly, yeah.
To keep you going.
So the card was in the wallet. You called the woman.
The hospital called her really close friend. And Norma then sent out a phone tree to women in our area that she knew, that knew her. And by afternoon, I had found out that we were all meeting at Carolyn's home that night to talk about what happened and why it happened or what we were going to do. What we didn't know also was that when Norma met with us, that she said Carolyn had written out instructions for how she wanted to be taken care of.
It's kind of like her own five wishes.
Yes.
Yes. If anyone out there doesn't know what the five wishes are, it's really a list of things that you want to see happen upon your death.
Right.
If you want to be buried or cremated or be thrown into the ocean, and what you want to have done at your memorial. I want Frank Sinatra playing at mine with lots of balloons. And that's actually written down in my five wishes.
Excellent.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So, some people have a playlist.
Exactly. So she had her instructions, and that's what got you going into this whole realm of sitting with the dying.
Yeah, the next day, well, Norma had stopped at the hospital and talked to them where Carolyn's body was, because they had taken her off to the hospital. And Norma said, we want to bring her body home. And they said, whoa, that's not a usual request.
Yeah.
And we'd like to see if you could file a death certificate first. So Norma called a funeral home, and they said they would work on it. They were able to get it done by the next day, which was miraculous. And then the next day, a group of people went to get her body at the hospital, and they were very helpful. They wheeled her out on a shower gurney.
Uh-huh.
And Norma and her husband had a Vanagon. And they loaded her up on a threefold futon, but she was in a body bag, and they drove her home, and we prepared the house and picked out clothes to put on her and got everything ready to receive her. And they arrived. We carried her body in on the futon, laid her on the floor. Norma kind of guided us because she was also a nurse and had been with death somewhat, not a lot, but some. And we did the very simplest things. Got a bowl of warm soapy water and some lavender oil, which we put in it, and some washcloths and towels. And then we had to unzip the body bag, we probably were all holding our breath. And then when we unzipped the bag, she had a beautiful, serene expression on her face.
Nice.
Which was a relief.
Uh-huh.
And she was still dressed in the clothes she had gone to work in.
Yeah.
And then we took the body bag away, and we took her work clothes off and started bathing her and dressing her.
So beautiful. And you anoint the bodies, too, don't you?
With oils.
With oils,
Now I use a lot of different oils that are, they have different properties that will help with protecting the spirit, uplifting the people who are caring for this person because they're getting it on their hands. It's in the water. Calming.
Uh-huh.
And connection, frankincense is one that connects us with the higher powers. So,
and where do you put the frankincense?
I usually do on the forehead,
on the
third eye, to open up the channel there, if it isn't already. But the person, of course, after they've stopped breathing, one of the things that Carolyn taught us, which was the very first huge lesson, besides carrying a card in the wallet, was as a Reiki master, she taught us to feel with our hands, pass our hands over the top of someone's body. And then feel to see if there's any energy coming from the body, if there's cold spots or hot spots or tingling in our hands as we pass it over. And so after we got her out of the body bag, that's what I did. And I was very surprised, almost shocked, to feel all kinds of energy coming from her head and from her heart.
Really?
Those chakras of the body.
Kind of like a vibration when you passed your hands over, is that right? Where you could feel the energy.
Yeah, I could just feel my hands are just lit up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, those are the vortex, the energy vortexes of our body, the chakras. And that informed me that she was dead, clinically speaking. Her heart had stopped, her breath wasn't happening. But there was still life force energy being exchanged.
Yes. Interesting. Well, isn't that why you sit in many cultures with the dying, with the dead, afterwards?
Yeah.
To give the soul a chance to head out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a chance to send energy and also light and love direct, you know, that to them Yeah, there's a number of cultures that ask for people to accompany by just sitting and meditating.
Yeah.
Sometimes reading readings from maybe a Christian text or some other text, depending on their background. Singing sometimes, chanting, music can be played, a cello, a harp.
And usually you give it a couple days, right? And then you feel, and then you feel again whether there's any more energy coming from the body. Is that right?
Yes.
And then when it's pretty flat or it's gone.
Usually by the third day.
By the third day.
It's pretty much, and that it becomes more visible as well. Because at first, it's almost like there's a glow around the body.
Yeah.
And it's like there's just all this radiant love shining from them and back and forth, you know, exchanged. And then as they're completing this transitional time, you see the energy just depleting or decreasing. And their features change over, you know, it's slow, but you'll see the eyes will change and look, you know, more vacant.
Yeah.
In fact, their whole body starts to look like a bodysuit.
Uh-huh. Which it is, really.
Which it is, and our spirit has flown.
Yes, yes.
And so there is that feeling, and even if people haven't experienced it before, they experience it in the cells of their body.
Yeah.
They know, you know, without knowing that they know. They do. It's intuitive. They can see it, they can feel it, and they know it's time to release the physical body to wherever it's going to go next.
Uh-huh. Where do you think it does go next, Jerry Grace? Do you have any thoughts on heaven or hell or limbo? I was brought up living in limbo.
Well, I you know, there's two
or
things that were... there's
until you earned your way to heaven. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, a lot of so many cultures have different ideas of what happens after death. I mean, there's two things to consider. There's the release of the physical body to where it's going to go, meaning burial, like, you know, green burial, cremation, and then there's new things coming down the pike, the natural organic reduction, which is already happening in several states on the mainland.
Yeah, talk about that. That's really interesting. The natural organic decomposition, right?
Yeah, it's body composting, actually.
Body composting.
Yeah, and the body's laid on a tray with straw and wood chips and various material. And then it's placed in a chamber with warm air and that's circulating. It takes about 4 or 5 weeks to, or maybe even 6, to completely turn to soil But with the materials that are with the body, it becomes just like soil.
That you could plant things in.
Yeah. You know, they remediate any metal like you might have in your body or teeth, metal and different things. They take out any of that. And then the soil can be placed on the earth and trees can be planted on.
So beautiful.
In that.
Do we do that in Hawaii? I don't think we have access
not
to that yet.
Not yet.
And it's costly.
It costs less in where I live. It costs less than green burial or regular burial.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've heard one place was under 5,000, another place was around 7. But and the family can have the soil themselves if they want to come and pick it up. It makes a lot of soil. But they can retrieve it, or it can be taken out onto some other land that receives it for growing trees and things.
I've always wanted to be a tree after I go.
I
thought that would be the coolest thing ever, just because you can do something. I think the company is called BioEarn. Uh-huh. And you can go to that company and order up an oak tree or a willow tree, and they can send you the seeds and the chemical composition to put the ashes in.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And then you compost it, and then you plant your tree.
And you plant your tree. I know.
So let's just go back for a minute to Deanna,
where
I was with you about 4 years ago when she died. And it was such a joyous time for her because she was so excited. Her kids finally came. She was terminal. And she had two doctors' signatures saying that she was terminal, so she was allowed to receive the necessary medication to leave her body. She chose the time of death. It was, I think it was some full moon on the calendar. And she brought her kids in who were totally against her leaving until the time came. And she was, no, I'm ready now. She was suffering.
Yeah. And her kids did come to visit, but they were not there. Well,
they
when
went there
she
for the final,
them,
final.
When,
okay.
When she took the medicine.
And you put her on dry ice. I remember that.
We actually didn't use dry ice here. Bodhi brought over and introduced me to another form of ice called cooler shock.
Huh.
Cooler shock.
Cooler shock.
And you can order it online.
Huh.
And it comes flat, and it gives you instructions of adding water and then sealing it off, and then you put it in the freezer, and it freezes hard, and it lasts a lot longer than other forms of ice.
Right. And you lay it right in the middle of the body?
Yes, under their back.
Under
we
their
put
back.
A couple of pieces, and then we put a smaller one on top.
Uh-huh.
The main thing is that we want to cool the organs down, because that's the first part of the body that begins to break down and decompose. So we're mainly concerned with keeping the organs cool.
Right. And then I remember, again, with Deanna, that you orchestrated this beautiful prayer service. And I know you clothed her and you laid her out so that she looked radiant. And you know when you left and you're laying down flat, everything sinks back and you look really young because your skin is really tight, and the flowers and then the gorgeous music, and then you had people write their final messages to her on the casket, right?
Yes,
the wooden casket, the pine box.
Yeah, people brought many different types of lays, which they surrounded her face and her head.
Yeah.
And they kept changing. Every day, people brought different lays. And I have lots of photographs of the many looks that she had. But you're right. People look so much younger. We don't realize how much tension there is in our faces when we're alive and when we're in pain.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot of tension there. And all that tension melts away. And we look 10, sometimes 20 years younger than
we are. It's true. It's opposite of what you would think, right?
Yeah.
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 So we spent 3 days with Deanna. I wasn't there at the time of her death, but 5 days.
5 days.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And one of my, of course, well, when Deanna first took the medicine, there's a lot of medicine in it. There's a lot of medicine to make sure that people don't come back.
You right. know, and you take a medicine first so you don't heave it all up.
You take anti-nausea medicine right. first, about an hour ahead. And then she drank the cocktail. And then within, and this is typical, within a couple of minutes she was asleep.
Uh-huh.
Because in that is you know, medicine to help her sleep, phenobarbital right. and stuff. And so she went to sleep. So she was resting there and breathing. And there were 16 people in the room, mostly women. And we were singing and chanting
oh, wow.
beautiful songs. And different women would start another chant, and then everybody would follow her. And we just, my friend Nirja and I, were on the bed right next to Deanna, and the rest of the women were standing in a circle around the bed.
Nice.
And we were singing this chant called Ruach. Ruach, which is Hebrew, and it means breath or spirit.
Mm.
And that was the chant.
Do you think that actually helps the soul move through the singing and the prayers, and they literally can feel it even if they're asleep or on their way out?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. Well, hearing, they say hearing is the last right. sense to go.
Right.
So I very much believe, and even when back home, when I visit, come over when somebody has died, I still introduce myself, and I still say something to them, you know, that I'm here to assist yeah, their family yeah. and that we're going to move through this beautiful ritual together in ceremony, and to honor them mm-hmm. and their body and their vessel that yeah. carried their spirit through yeah. their whole life.
Yeah, but hopefully you've met them before.
Well, most of the time I have, usually to meet them or consult with them and their family
because
about
they wanted a home funeral, right? That's why you're there.
Well, sometimes it's the family. By the time the family calls me, mm-hmm. the person themselves is maybe in that sleep state that they go into okay. before death, or they're too weak to speak yeah. or too unable to speak. But maybe they made their wishes known ahead to their family members. So then their family contacts me and I'm dealing with them. I'm talking with them
yeah.
when I come over. So maybe I met the person, maybe I didn't. And so I definitely want to say, if I had already, I would come and say, hi, I'm Jerry uh-huh. Grace. You might remember me. I was
yes.
here before.
Yeah. How many people have you helped leave?
Nearly 500.
Really, Jerry Grace? What an extraordinary kuleana you have. You know, Hawaii, we say that's your divine responsibility. That's a beautiful walk that you've taken in life.
And I'm not very often there at the moment they take their last breath.
Uh-huh.
The family knows to call me when they're in the last final stage. End stage, where their breathing changes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they usually call me so that I can begin to prepare my own life, because I know I'm going to have to, like if I had appointments, I might have to cancel them.
Clear
my calendar.
Yeah.
And also gather all the things I take, which is a lot of things.
Uh-huh.
Not just a kit with things, but also have a number of bags of fabric, of textiles, to decorate, cover the bed, make it look beautiful so it doesn't look like a hospital bed
right.
Or massage table or whatever. And just makes them look so beautiful, of prince or princess or whatever,
it's
priestess,
it's so
or whatever your
the transformation that
it's
you can make
incredible
in a person's own home without the cold impersonal funeral home,
yeah,
which I think is so great that we can choose now to be that your memorial can be at home. It doesn't have to be
right.
in a church if you don't choose to.
And it is so healing for
yeah,
the families.
Of course. And then people come, right, for the next 3, 4, or 5 days.
Yeah.
To pay their respects.
Mostly three, but we've had some uh-huh. longer. I mean, Deanna was longer, but mostly just three. And And maybe the fourth morning we're taking him to the cemetery or crematorium.
Yeah, yeah. And but you've closed the casket, closed the box. And what I remember is writing to Deanna a poem or something on her, literally on her casket.
Yes. Well, while the person's lying in honor, and that's how we refer to him, or lying in grace, you might say, on their hospital bed or their regular bed or a massage table, any of those, then people are often decorating the casket.
Oh, during that time. Okay,
during that time. Yeah. And then when it's time to go, then we
it's
place them.
It's all ready
them,
to go. Yeah.
Right. We place them in the box or cardboard cremation casket or pine box or whatever they have.
Yeah.
And then, or shroud even, because back home we're allowed to do shroud only, green burial.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then everybody helps lift and carry that out to whatever vehicle's going to drive them.
I remember when Ram Dass died, I had the great honor of being at his home during those final hours before they took him away. And we all wrote on his casket. And somebody wrote, return to sender.
Yes.
And I just thought, that is the perfect thing to say, return to sender.
Yep.
And it is the truth, isn't it? We're just going home.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're just walking each other home for sure. What he Ram Dass said, and the Threshold Choir that I was singing with for many years, they have a song. They made up a music to that. We're walking each other home.
Yes, Nirja did actually.
Yeah,
she has a gorgeous rendition of that.
Does
walking each other home?
Yeah, and Nirja then. After Deanna died and some people were, most everybody had kind of drifted off outside or home, but Nirja came and said to me, I'm getting a message from Deanna.
Mm.
And I said, what is she saying? And she said, she feels like she's stuck in mud, like she can't move. And I thought about that for a few seconds, and I said, I know what it is. I think it's from all the medicine. It's so much medicine that, you know, it's there's a heaviness to it.
Sure.
And I said, let's do a ritual that I did with my mom when she died. Mm. And I had her and another friend and myself surround Deanna's body. And I said, just take your hands and lift away from her. Well, first we called Deanna's favorite spiritual connections, Amma G.
Yeah, she was an Amma G person.
And any of her guides and angels that were around her. And we called them in. And then I said, just take your hands and lift away from her body all the residue, energetic residue of the medicines. And so we did that for a little while until it felt like a lighter. The air was around. The environment was lighter. And her body was lighter. And I said, well, it feels good to me. The next day, Deanna's sister arrived. I had never met her. She came from Colorado, and after meeting me, the first thing she said is, Deanna came to me in the night. Both she and her sister were both psychic from when they were little.
Wow.
And she said she came in this big spinning ball of white light.
Wow.
And I said, fantastic. And she said, she told me she's free and happy.
Ooh, goosebumps.
I know. And I was like, thank you for telling me that. I feel now, you know, I know that she's out of the mud.
Yeah, out of the mud, for
out
sure.
Out of the mud.
On to her next adventure. Wow, Jerry Grace.
Out of the mud.
Well, you know, let me ask you something. On your business card, it says, medical aid in dying death doula.
Yeah.
So what are the other ways that you can leave your body? I am a big fan of Death with Dignity. And Compassion and Choices, the wonderful organization that campaigns politically that you are allowed to leave your body when you want to with the right medicines in a very, you know, honoring way.
Right.
People should not suffer unduly.
Correct. I feel that way too.
Degree.
Very strongly. Well, Deanna was the first person I was with, not the first person I knew about. In fact, I helped with a couple of different home funerals after people took the medicine.
Uh-huh.
But I wasn't in the room when they took it.
Uh-huh.
And then Deanna took it while I was there, of course. And then I came home and I had this experience of of this new ritual. She really helped me. I knew that I needed to teach it to my students.
Yeah.
About lifting when people take this yes. medicine. And even if they've been taking other palliative sedation of morphine and so forth, that it's a really beautiful thing to do just to help in case there some of that residue is hanging out.
But aren't there other ways to go? I mean, I know that when I was in California, one of the most popular ways to go was helium. That used to be able to inhale helium before they put the oxygen back in. And, you know, you basically a plastic bag over your head. And we have three friends who left that way.
I have
they
one,
were,
too.
They were just done. But now so many people were doing it that it's not allowed anymore. They put
and they've been putting more oxygen in it, too,
right.
to change the formula because
exactly.
so many people were using it. It's such a gentle way to go.
I've also heard that nitrogen is another great way to do it.
And I know a friend back home who has a nitrogen tank, I guess, for himself if someday he
really?
Wants to use it. Yeah. But he also tells people ways to they can use it. I've not seen a setup that way, but I understand too that it isn't considered legal to use those methods. The only method that we've been given the green light, the legal green light, is the legally prescribed doctor's prescription of the cocktail. They can take it by mouth, and they can also have a rectal port put in.
Okay.
And I've been with a woman who used the rectal port.
Yeah.
And then the person who's taking the medicine or wants to leave has to be the one that drinks it. I mean,
the doctor can put it in their mouth.
Right.
Yeah.
And or if it's the rectal port, they have a plunger, and they, with their hand, just push the plunger.
Yeah.
And they can do that.
But there must be ways that you could actually end your life and not be terminal and be totally fine with everybody everywhere because they didn't want you to suffer anymore, and they were ready to help you go and without being made wrong for it.
So V said is something that we also do education around. It's voluntary stopping eating and drinking.
Right.
And most everyone will die within a couple of weeks, and depending on how weak they are from
the
cancer or whatever it is their illness is, it can be a much shorter time than that.
It's not a happy way to go, but it's possible. I suppose
you
it
know,
depends on the person.
I've seen films. We've shown a film of a doctor who had cancer, and he chose that way, and he was interviewed every day to talk to him about how he was feeling, and he got quite euphoric.
Uh-huh.
And he said, you know, like when people do fasts,
yeah,
and they kind of go into a deep meditation space, a lot of people just go into that. My mom, she didn't choose it per se, but she was just sleeping more and more and more.
Yeah.
We stopped offering her food because we knew that her body was shutting down, but she didn't have cancer or any other illness like that. I think her heart was giving out, but she just, she started to have, kind of hallucination. I don't know if you call it that, but she'd come out of her sleep state and say to the caregivers, "Can you put on my nice dress now?
Yeah.
Because my husband is coming.
He's waiting."
No, she didn't say my husband. Ray, because like it was like when they were dating.
Uh-huh.
Ray is coming to pick me up, to take me out. And she asked my sister once, What are you doing today? And my sister said, "Well, I'm here to be with you," because she was in her dying time, right? And my sister said, "Why are you asking?" And she said, "Well, because Ray wants to go out, and I'm trying to plan my time with him, you know.
That's so great.
I know, and we were just like, okay.
So there's easier ways to leave then without feeling like you're starving to death.
Yeah, really the first, just imagine people who have done fasts, water fasts, of course, but even so, it's the same, like, you know, the first day or two might be hard, although for her, she was just
already on her way,
sleeping.
Yeah.
And then pretty soon your body really isn't hungry anymore. Just like when people's bodies naturally start to close down, shut down, the organs stop. People aren't hungry anymore.
No, that's true. It's
they
just
really
the thirsty
aren't.
Part. Do you find a lot of people choose that particular method, Jerry Grace?
A number of
you
people.
You called it something.
V-SED. Voluntary stopping eating and drinking.
Okay.
V-SED. V-S-E-D.
Yeah. Boy, I remember when I first met you with Christina Sukal back in the day. She's now a Laura. And her husband killed himself with a gun.
Yes.
Because he had terminal cancer and
yes.
he was ready to go. And he couldn't tell, she knew he was going to do it, but she didn't know when. And you came to be with her and you washed that body and you anointed it with oil and you put Michael in his Eureka robes. I'll never forget that. And we all came to her home in Santa Rosa and prayed with her and sang. And he was there 3 days. It was so beautiful. I think later she did do a memorial in the church in Santa Rosa.
And she showed the film she took of him.
That's right.
And while he was lying in his robes and his mala and his, or whatever, he was Egyptian. It was an Egyptian priest robe that we put on him.
Yeah.
And, you know, she called me the night before she thought he was going to take his life. And it happened to be the night my Reiki group was meeting, and I asked everybody if they would send prayers to him.
Yeah.
And we did, and the next morning she called me and said he had shot himself.
Yeah.
And she said, is it still possible to bring him home? And I said, well, I'll call the coroner and find out what they say.
Yeah.
So I did, and I spoke to somebody, and they said, oh, yes, his face is quite viewable. He's fine.
Yeah, he looked wonderful.
Yeah, and he, miraculously, I mean, he had put a gun to the roof of his mouth, and the bullet came through the back of his head. The flap of skin just came over, covered the wound. You could not even tell at all.
Amazing. Not but, you know, Jerry Grace, people shouldn't have to do that. People should have another way out, even if they don't have a terminal diagnosis.
I agree.
I think about the people who die from Alzheimer's and some horrible, I've heard stories. It's not a happy way to leave, and it's long haul, and you've got all of these people who are caring for you who just want you to leave because you're miserable. There must be, even if you're not terminal, a way to sign a statement that said, if it comes to this, here is my sixth wish. There's after the five wishes, there's a sixth wish, which I wrote out last night. And it says, I have unbearable suffering and pain for a minimum of 6 months, I have the right to die with dignity. It just feels like a natural thing that we've got to choose our own leave taking.
I so agree with that, and I wish, and I know there are people working on that to try to legalize it. There is a woman I know that flew to Europe. She had a diagnosis of dementia, and it was getting worse. And before it was going to be so bad that she wouldn't be able to take the medicine, she flew to Europe, and they have a way that they can that you can go out.
It is legal and allowed.
It is legal, and I think they might do injections.
Uh-huh.
And in Canada, they do injections.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
If you have dementia or a mental problem.
Well, that piece I don't know, but I know if people are diagnosed with a terminal illness, you can get an injection rather than drink the bitter medicine. But I don't know if it's also legal to do it after a diagnosis of dementia.
Yeah.
But I do know people are, like you said, using the various gases.
Yeah.
I think it's just being done very quietly.
Very quietly.
And within a family's knowledge. Because there is undetectable yeah. in an autopsy.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, yeah. I've heard you leave a note saying this is of my own volition,
right.
I'm leaving.
Right,
so that it's
nobody's
all,
implicated.
No one's implicated,
yeah.
which is important to do.
Yeah.
I also heard it needs to be notarized. Is that right?
I don't know. It's always good to have something either witnessed by two people, two uh-huh. different people, or a notary.
Yeah.
That makes it more solid. Legal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I had yeah. cancer 15 years ago, and the doctor said, you know, there's a 50% chance that it could come back. And ever since then, I'm thinking, you know, if it came back, I think I would just head on out. I've had a beautiful life. And yet, I'm not terminal.
Yeah.
So it's just tricky business, and it's something that I know that Compassion and Choices is fighting for, and a lot of other great organizations.
Yes.
Yeah. What is Final Passage's future? What are you doing now regarding this as end-of-life care?
Well, our focus has always been on the home funeral. Some of us as end-of-life doulas uh-huh. Have chosen to move into the area of supporting medical aid in dying patients. There are ways to take courses now, learning the things you need. There are things you need to learn. So there are some red flags which they give you as to watch to make sure that the person's going to be able to swallow okay,
uh-huh.
You know, if they've had diarrhea or vomiting or different things, there's a whole list of things. So people, if they're going to support somebody taking the medicine, I advise them to learn what they can.
Yeah.
There's some online courses. There's an American Academy of I think it's the American Clinicians Academy
uh-huh.
of Medical Aid in Dying.
Okay.
ACAMADE. ACA. Yeah.
M-A.
American Clinicians Academy of Medical Aid in Dying. So it's
okay.
ACAMADE. You can go online. You can watch some videos,
yeah.
take little tests to at least get some information.
There's also a group called Final Exit. There's
uh-huh.
a whole bunch
yes.
of different strategies on that website.
Yes.
Called Final Exit.
Final
Exit. So people have their own ability to choose at the end.
Yeah. And Compassion and Choices. I think they've started, or they're about to start, I heard, teaching classes too.
Great.
So that people who are assisting others or
yeah.
supporting others.
Yeah.
are well informed
yeah.
on, you know,
nice.
And it's changing all mm-hmm. the time. They're learning new things all
I
the time.
I love that. Well, also, speaking of classes, you've just finished 5 days with our wonderful Bodhi B.
Yes, I
who
do.
Has the death store here in Hawaii, here on Maui. It's open every Saturday from 10 to 2. And we are so lucky to have Bodhi here.
Yeah.
You know, is the guy, you know, that's your go-to guy when the time comes. It's just such a joy to know that he's around.
And he has two beautiful women working
he does
for him.
Have
and Diana and Michelle, and they're just loves.
They are.
They
used to
so
sit right in the chair doing death tracks for a couple of years on the radio. And
also I teach at home.
Yeah.
And back in California.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great.
Oh, I've, back since 2000, I've had a three-tiered program where we start with conscious dying and preparing for death, and then we go to the level of post-death or natural death care.
Nice.
And then our third level, we bring in grief and medical aid in dying and
uh-huh.
VSED, and also the various forms of releasing the body, such as the natural organic reduction, the what they're calling water cremation or alkaline hydrolysis, green burial, which is a beautiful way back home.
Right.
We have two green burial cemeteries.
Oh, do you? I know Bodhi mm-hmm. wants one here that we're
yeah.
hoping to have someday,
yeah.
one day.
And he does sea burial.
Yeah.
We can do that also. I just haven't had yet any clients or
uh-huh.
family clients that have wanted to do it, but it is done
it's
there.
Available.
It is available.
Yeah, that's so great.
So there's, we try to let people know everything, and we do a lot of frequently asked questions, so people come out feeling very informed and they can go into their community
and ready
and educate their communities, their circles of friends and family. And
now, are you online doing all of this, Jerry Grace? Can people sign up some with you today if they choose to?
Yes. We just did our first in-person since the pandemic in July, but we have the first level, the Conscious Dying and Preparing for Death, is coming up next weekend.
Okay.
And it's, that one's in person too, sorry. But the third level, which people, if they have any background in death at all, they can call me and they can jump into that one's, actually, that's the first one coming up next weekend.
Live and in person in Northern California.
No, the one online. Third level.
Okay, good.
That's next weekend. Sorry, I misspoke.
And that's finalpassages.org.
Finalpassages.org. Okay. So we are going back and forth. In person, online, in person, online.
I see. That's a great way to go, because you can't possibly be doing everything. I mean, can't be flying around the world giving your gifts.
I have enjoyed going. We've been to New Zealand and
have
the
you?
UK.
Good for you.
And many of the states. And
well, you're such a pioneer in this field, Jerry Grace. That's why it's just, I so honor you for taking your stand and allowing the death process to be gentle and available and a powerful. You know, I remember reading The Grace in Dying with Elizabeth Kubler-Roth. I forget her name now. But she said it's the most powerful time of your life. Kathleen Singh, who I interviewed back in California.
Oh, wow.
Just an amazing woman. The Grace in Dying.
Yes.
And she said, you don't want to miss your death. It's the most beautiful, transformative time of life.
It doesn't have to be all sorrow
angst.
And grief and angst. And
exactly.
It can be. And when the families are washing the body, I can see that they're in this most beautiful altered state, because there's so much love in the room.
Yeah.
There's so much angelic presence, and they're just in this. This is what they talk about after. They just said it was the most beautiful experience of their life, or one of the highlights anyway, and it's the last, very most intimate experience they're going to have.
Of course.
Touching their loved one with such kindness and care.
Yeah. I remember I was talking to Lelia the way to the station today, and she was remembering when her mom died, and she was in, I think, her late 80s or 90s, and she saw this white light, you know, kind of colored white light around her head after she had died. And she was just ecstatic to see that happening. And did you notice that in some of your patients?
I see a glow, like a glow around them. And I just feel like there's so much exchange of love going on at that time. They're just, maybe it's all the help from our loved ones on the other side, you know, whether there are ancestors or angels or whatever you believe in, higher power. I feel they're there to guide and assist us at that time. And it is really, people are also amazed by the second day to see so very often there's a smile on their face.
Uh-huh.
And they're just... the families are always saying, look, they're smiling. And I'm like, it's all the love you've exchanged and all the love that you gave to them while cleansing them and purifying them and preparing them for their next place they're going.
Yes.
Wherever that is.
And, you know, if you've listened to any of the many near-death experiences, the recounting of them on these wonderful talk shows that are all over social media. There are thousands of them, of people coming back to tell the story. And the love they said it's a million times over what you could even imagine happening here on Earth in the higher realms.
Yeah,
and that's
definitely
what I'm excited about, what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
And hoping that this 3D dimension is just a little blip on the screen. And you know it is. It's
yeah.
Just, it's just, it's, this is all a grand illusion.
That's a great visit.
Vacation
or a visit. Well, for some people, it's more challenging. But
exactly.
It's a school. It's yes. a school of learning.
Yes.
To grow our souls.
That's right.
And this work also mm-hmm. grows our soul.
Yeah.
And I feel so fortunate, so blessed to be on this path.
Yes.
There's been a lot of learning in it,
a lot of
challenges. And yet it has, I can imagine having a more blessed vocation or calling, as we say.
Yes, it is.
To something so much. It standing in the threshold is the most powerful and beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's the same as birth.
Same as birth.
Some people say it's opposite ends. Like my daughter's a birth midwife, and I'm a death midwife.
Is she really? And she's the birth. Oh, how interesting.
And I say, well, really, we're not covering both ends. We're in a revolving door of people coming and going.
Yes.
Right.
It's a great way to look at it.
A revolving door.
It's true. I love that your daughter has followed in your footsteps.
Well. On her own path, yeah. I took her doula class when she was teaching doula work. She took my deaf doula class.
Yeah.
And so we really knew what each other did. And we actually did a course together.
Nice.
We did not a course, but a presentation at a conference in Louisiana, in New Orleans.
That's so great.
For the squat conference.
The squat conference. All right, then. Jerry Grace, we're almost out of time, honey. This has been such a delight to be with you. When I first saw you at the Temple of Peace last Sunday, I thought, this is the woman I want to talk to next before you leave town. Are you coming back to Maui anytime soon?
You never know.
I
can't come back soon enough.
Good. Well, we will welcome you with open arms, my dear. Jerry Grace Lyons. Her beautiful organization is called Final Passages. Please check out her website, sign up for her courses, and send her a lot of love because she's given a lot of it out.
Thank you so much, Maura. This has been great fun.
Yes.
And aloha and mahalo to all of you out there.
Yes.
For listening and wherever it takes you.
Yes. Blessings to you, Jerry Grace, and to everyone listening, and we'll see
Civil
you next
Beat
week.
Civil Beat Pop-Up Newsroom is coming to Maui on April 19th at the Kihei Public Library, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., and then continued at 1 p.m. to 4 p.m.
Hi, I'm Jason Schwartz, host of The Neutral Zone. KAKU is a listener-supported station. This means that all of the great programs you hear, like mine, are sponsored by you as well as our underwriters. If you would like to help keep the Voice of Maui talking loud and clear, go to kakufm.org/donate today and give. And don't miss The Neutral Zone Mondays at 11 a.m. on 88.5 FM, The Voice of Maui.
The Maui Emergency Management Agency, MEMA, has extended hours for re-entry access into the Lahaina Wildfire Disaster Zone to 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. The extension only applies to those entering the zone with a vehicle re-entry pass. Access for contractors, with placards, continues to be during daylight hours. Re-entry vehicle pass applications and on-site distribution is available at the Lahaina Disaster Recovery Center, DRC, on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Optional personal protective equipment, PPE, kits, and instructions for usage will be available during vehicle pass distribution. A re-entry vehicle pass allows vehicle access to the designated property daily from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Information on documents that may be used to verify property ownership or residency to receive a re-entry vehicle pass is available at mauirecovers.org/reentry. Or visit the Lahaina DRC to speak to a MEMA representative.
The Grateful Dead played a different set list at every show. Since no two concerts were ever the same on stage, the same goes with the Grateful Dead radio program on KAKU 88.5 FM. Saturday night at 8 and Sunday night at 9, it's Dead Air. It's an hour of killer recordings, stories from the taper section, tall tales from the parking lot, and I'll throw in an interview from time to time. Hey, I'm Corey Daniels. Saturday night at 8 and Sunday night at 9, you'll get Dead Air on KAKU 88.5 FM. 88.5 FM, the voice of Maui.
Mayor Richard Bisson's weekly disaster recovery community update meetings resume at 5:30 p.m. in Lahaina on Wednesdays. Started in November, the weekly disaster recovery community update meetings will continue indefinitely. Wednesday's 5:30 p.m. Lahaina meeting is at Lahaina Civic Center. Facilitated by the mayor, representatives from county, state, and federal agencies provide weekly updates that cover progress, schedule, and frequently asked community questions as debris cleanup moves along. For more information on the meetings, visit www.mauirecovers.org.
Maui's free speech station, KAKU 88.5 FM, Kahului, Maui, the voice of Maui.
Come by the hills to the land where fancy is free. Stand where the hills reach the sky, rocks meet the sea. Where the rivers run clear, bracken lays gold in the sun. And the cares of tomorrow must wait till this day is done. Try that line out. And the cares of tomorrow must wait till this day is done. Come by the hills to the land where life is a song. Sing where the birds fill the air with their joy all day long.